the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 169.
Woo!
Oi, oi, coming to you like glitter being spread at the Eurovision. On this week's podcast, we discuss religion. That's very glittery. What are some of the strangest religious practices out there? And could we get into something like Scientology by pure Tom Cruise job?
He once got Gerlach Nan in a headlock, which is all the more impressive, considering Gerlach Nan has no neck. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
I promise you, if she talks one more time about periods, she's sacked. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your neighbour Sandra on Facebook claiming to know more than actual scientists, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, let me take it up there. On Maura's mystery topic about renting and landlords, David emailed the podcast to say, a few years back when I was in college in WIT, oh, magical Waterford,
oh, yeah,
lad.
Come on, man. I'm getting flashbacks now. Beer door.
It was some crack, but sure did myself and a few of the lads decide it'd be a great idea to move in together. We had this three-story house across from the college, and it was as old as the hills. The place was falling apart. Halfway up the stairs had this huge window that led out onto a flat roof at the back. Now, myself and the boys, being as innovative and industrious as we are, made the best of it. Wasn't long before we had a couple of couches, a mattress, and a tiny fridge out on the roof. That's super cool. If you're in college and you've got, like, chairs on a roof.
Yeah, I also think that's a tinny fridge, as in, like, a fridge for tinnies.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm speed reading here. What do you want? What, is he Australian? Couple of tinnies, mate.
But I reckon...
Bottle of piss, yeah, the guts. Could I, mate?
I reckon it is a tiny fridge, though, so, you know, so it's double meaning. Like.
A tiny, tinny fridge.
Yes, yes, yes.
This comes in from Big Bob. Yeah. No, if you're in college, you got a flat roof and you're having a session on the flat roof.
Oh, yeah, those lads are cleaning up.
Oh, you think
they're
you're
just hoovering
in
up fanny.
Fucking this Dawson's Creek stuff here, like. Whatever.
Dawson's Creek.
I don't
showing
know.
Your age now, lad.
I googled it. We had a few sessions, much to the amusement of anyone in attendance. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong drinking on a flat roof? Like? Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of days before the lease was due to be up, we decided, right, one last shindig with just the core group. We went and got a couple of those tinfoil barbecues, proceeded to have a few drinks, few tunes on the guitar, and a heap of barbecue fodder. We went out that night and had a ball. Life was good, or so we thought. To say we'd had a skinful, we'd be putting it lightly. Afterwards, I went back to the house, none the wiser. With the lads having moved out into their new accommodation, I ended up being the last one in the house on my own that night. So I woke up the next morning with the sound of what I could only assume was a bull charging at the front door. Walked down in my hungover state and couldn't believe what I saw next. Two fire brigades, an ambulance, and a heap of squad cars outside with a heap of the boys in blue that weren't long about informing me that the house was in fact on fire. Ooh. I couldn't believe it. Probably should be dead now, but long live the sesh. We got in a bit of bother with the landlord, but sure, he was a bit of a bollocks and the rent was feckin' massive for what we got. €1,500 a month plus bills.
There's probably 26 students living in the house.
He went to the insurance about it, right? And apparently they don't insure against barbecues on roofs. Isn't that dreadful?
You got to go to a special barbecue insurance brand.
I know, a great guy. Barbecues on a flat roof, no problem. Now, here's the kicker. I got my deposit back as per my contract because there was no working fire alarm in the house.
Oh, wow.
What a country. That is lethal. Have a look at the picture attached and see what you reckon. And the picture attached has a massive burnt hole on the flat roof and the kitchen is ruined.
Jesus Christ.
And he said, P.S., regardless if this story is good enough to get a mug or not, I reckon you should send it out anyway because I think Johnny B. shifted my sister. Now, we found David's second name and I can confirm, David, I never shifted your sister.
Just want to go on record.
As record, yeah. But I was chatting to her one night and she seemed sound.
Yeah.
So somebody probably shifted her. Wasn't me.
I had a dangerous incident with a tinfoil barbecue.
Right, that's not what I thought you were going with that, yeah.
No, it didn't involve David's sister, we're safe enough. When Annie lived in college, she like lived in Aylesbury Manor, which looked over the river.
In Waterford.
Yeah. And she had a tiny balcony.
Yeah.
And we got one of these tinfoil barbecues. It was like, you know, in college where you're like, oh, it's a lovely day. Even though it was January, there was a small bit of sun out. So obviously that called for a barbecue. So we got that tinfoil barbecue, whatever. I was like, throw it down there. I light it up. Obviously, we had that real safety, you know, match lighter because I don't like lighters.
No, the big long lighter.
Freaked me out, yeah. And so I lit it. Going grand, just threw a couple of chops on it. Next thing was like, I could smell it burning. Like, and I was after putting the barbecue on a coffee table.
Oh, jeez.
So it was after burning all big massive hole in the coffee table. And I panicked then and picked it up.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, that was like burning me fingers. And I just threw it over the balcony. And I was like, oh, like, you know, look, I know that's littering. And I'll get to that later in the podcast. But I thought, like, oh, I'll go in the river. At least that's safe. But it didn't. It went down the side, like, the side of the river where there's, like, rushes and grass.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, shit. Then smoke started coming up. I was like, this whole place is going to catch fire. So I'm there on the second floor trying to strategically pour down, like, water, cold water out of a kettle on top of it. So, like, after around 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we eventually, like, quenched it. But, like, obviously, this coffee table was fucking destroyed.
You're some header, lad. What are you doing?
And he sanded the coffee table to, like, you know.
Get the black off it.
Yeah, so basically, it was around 5 inches thick. And by the time she was finished with it, it was just fucking, like, A4 paper on the top of the coffee. She got her deposit back.
Hey!
Yeah, there you go. All's well that ends well. On the same topic, not barbecues now, landlords. Steph said, I became an accidental landlord.
Well, I just meet someone on a night out and... didn't mean to buy the house. Wow, one thing led to another.
I was so fucked up last night. I'm pretty sure I bought a ghost estate. So Steph bought her house in 2008 at the height of the boom.
Oh.
I was 22 years old at the time, she said. Prices were so high and still rising that there was a bit of a panic. If you didn't buy now, you'd never be able to afford one. Anyways.
And about a month later, the crash came.
Anyways, I got a tracker mortgage. It's not all that bad, says Steph. She bought a house at 22. You can get a fucking doghouse now if you're 22.
22 in 2008.
I wouldn't have had the sense to like buy a pair of runners at that age. Never mind the house. Like, and at 22, I definitely didn't know what a tracker mortgage was.
Here's you burning down coffee tables.
Yeah, like. You know what I mean? Anyway, back to Steph. I met a lad who also had his own house and moved in with him, so rented out my own place. I used a letting agency who let the house to a single mom with a young baby. One night, around 1 a.m, I got a call from my dad, who's a taxi driver. He said there was a rake of squad cars outside my house. Turns out the single mom wasn't actually living in the house. There was a few lads using it as HQ for their drugs enterprise. Gardaí rammed the door down and raided the place. Had to evict them, and the feckers even pissed on the carpets and mattresses before they left.
Ah, whatever about running a drug empire. I mean, you don't piss on a mattress. Come on.
Drugs are bad. Pissing on mattresses is a whole different level. Yeah. Isn't it? Now, strangely, I'm more bitter about the next story, says Steph. The lad I moved in with rented out the spare room in his house. We went on holidays in 2010 and I bought these Butler's hot chocolate things in duty free.
Nice.
We didn't have a Butler's in Limerick back then, so they were special and I was pregnant, so the chocolate was my only treat. They were like chocolate on a stick that melted into the milk. The airport had a service where you could leave your purchases and collect them on your return. I believe it's called The Loop. I forgot them, but the duty-free staff couriered them to me for free.
Wow.
2 weeks later, I went to have one and the box was empty. Empty, she says. The girlfriend of one of the guys renting a room had used them all. Every last one of them. I'm still raging to this day. Anyhow, I'm back in my own house with my tracker mortgage and my only tenant is a 10-year-old who can't reach the hot chocolate. So it's all good. Steph, that's a raw deal you've gotten there. I don't know what's worse. Like, renting out your house to drug lords... buying a house at 22 or like some bitch eating all your hot chocolate. Butler's. Jesus, had a bad run.
Butler's chocolate back in 2010.
Yeah, that was actually the same price as the house.
Yeah. Sold the house, bought the chocolate. On dating, Claire emailed in saying, I was listening to your podcast about the girl who had her first time experience with the Tinder guy. We remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It reminded me of a Tinder experience I had before COVID. It wasn't my first time. Or his, but it was our first time together. We had matched on Tinder and were chatting away, swapped numbers, and we were flat out on WhatsApp. We seemed to really hit it off, loads in common, and had a connection almost straight away. It seemed promising. I will say there were a few red flags along the way and things that were a bit up and down at times, but based on past relationships, I just thought I was being pessimistic. Dick pics were a little early for my liking. Lads, come on.
Come on, come lads. On. Come have on. Some respect. I feel like
we've covered this. But over the years,
I mean,
just
how early is like a dick pic? Is like, well, how are you? Not too bad. Bang.
That's too early.
That's too early? Okay.
On a podcast where we're about to cover religion. Yeah. You won't see the Amish sending dick pics. I'll tell you that. Anyway, she said she had just...
They don't have camera phones.
That's true. That's what I mean. Oh my God, did they do like a dick sketch?
Yeah.
Do you get like a carrier pigeon? Oh, I wonder what it could be, Eliza. Oh, another dick.
They do it on a magnadoodle. Remember the old magnadoodles, right?
Etch really, a sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
Big etch a sketch, Mickey.
Mad for you, so I am.
Not to scale.
You know the way we used to trace our hands as young lads? They just get on raging horns and trace them. And that's it for this week. Tune in next week.
Do you reckon your one then like puts your tit down on a page, sends it back? Is your man tossing himself off looking at it? Size of that, look at the outline of that.
It'd be weird to outline a tit though.
Yeah, I've never tried it that.
Anyway, let's move on.
Put it up on the table and down a sheet of paper and maybe get charcoal, like sketching leaves, you know. Sketch around it, like, you know, you did that as a kid.
Yeah. Shit, it is.
Right, so
where were we? This
pictures of willies. She said she'd become immune to it. I don't know why lads are always trying to show off their equipment. Why do they love sending them to me? After 8 weeks or so, he added me on Facebook, and this was the next red flag. His profile picture was not quite his Tinder picture. Different people, in fact.
Oh, shit.
That's a definite red flag. My friend told me it wasn't about looks, as they could see we were really hitting it off. In fairness, I don't go for good-looking guys, and most of the time, it's the sense of humour that I fall for. I never understand women. He admitted to being insecure about his looks, and we moved on from that. Anyway, we had set up a couple of dates that fell through at the last minute.
No, this is an episode of Catfish, if ever I've come across one here.
They eventually met in person, John. Okay. We had a lovely evening, and one thing led to another, and we ended up in the labba, in the bed. It was all going great until the deed was done. He got up, put a t-shirt on, sat at the other side of the bed, and started to cry uncontrollably. I didn't know what to do.
I'm sorry.
I'm not good at people crying in normal situations, but right after sex was totally new to me. Was it me? Was it him? I hadn't the foggiest what was after happening. Anyway, he explained it was about his ex-girlfriend who had been diagnosed with an illness recently, and he was still hung up on her, but she didn't want anything to do with him. I ended up being his shoulder to cry on that night and basically counselling him over his ex. Needless to say, I got out of there as quickly as I could. It's been nearly 2 years now, and he still tries to reach out and get things going again. Needless to say, I eventually had to block him on all messaging platforms because he wasn't taking no for an answer. Come on, lads. No. I'm now in a very happy relationship and think back on the whole thing and just wonder, what the hell was that all about? I guess I'll chalk it down to experience. On a side note, what are your thoughts on fetishes?
Oh,
personally,
wow.
I don't have any, but I was with this older guy for a while who loved sucking my toes. Is that common? I found the whole thing very strange.
I don't see the fascination, but if you seen what was in between our toes.
we had someone recently saying, remember she woke up and your man was trying to shag her feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So Claire, no, I don't.
I'd have dry skin, it'd be like shagging sandpaper.
Lube for the toes. I hope he washes your feet first.
Yeah.
Like, well, what happens to you in life that toes give you a horn?
Like, I don't care who you are. If you've been walking around all day, your feet aren't going to be like fresh, like.
Give him wash.
Just all the fluff from the socks in between and everything. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but he's probably like, oh, why are you attracted to bums? That's where people shit, you know?
I was going to say like, yeah, but you don't lick bums. And then I was like, well.
Some people do.
I mean, you know, it's a common thing now, I suppose.
Don't judge.
Puberty. Here we go.
On a roll, lads.
Let's keep it going here. Ryan emailed, I was in third year secondary school and it was the height of puberty for most of the year. So both the boys and girls were swimming in an ocean of hormones as they walked through the corridors. Now let me set the scene for this incident. It was mid-morning. the never-ending limbo period between breakfast and lunch that never seems to end, and we were heading into Irish class. The classroom had been arranged by the teacher so that the tables were all in a big U shape so that everyone could see everyone and the teacher, etc. Myself and my good friend, let's call him John, sat down in our usual seats about halfway down a straight bit of the U. The teacher started the class and got down to business. About 15 minutes into class, I could see John next to me squirming and fidgeting with himself in his pockets. I gave him a nudge and an inquisitive look as if to say, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" He turned to me and said, "He's got a horn and is trying to tuck it up." At this point, I just stuck my head in the book and left the mat. Fast forward a few minutes and the teacher asks the class to look at the board as she's trying to explain something and the class complies. However, as she has the entire class in the grips of the conditional tense, John leans back, stretches his hands up into the air and lets out a huge yawn. The whole class, concentration broken, turns to John and sees that his jumper and shirt have lifted up during this enormous yawn. The purple helmet warrior is on full show, poking his head above the waistband of his pants. The entire class is staring at John and his penis, and he eventually finishes his yawn, looks around to see everyone staring at him. He looks at me for a reason why everyone is looking at him, smirking and giggling. I whispered into his ear, what had just happened, and John put his head into his hands and didn't raise his head again until the bell went. For the next 3 years, he was known as Diglett, after the Pokemon that pokes his head up out of the ground. To this day, we still remind him of the story every now and again, and just to keep him in check. P.S. would love to win the mug, as John is soon to be married and I'm a cheap bastard.
Thanks for that.
Well, I tell you, you won't be his friend long, too much longer if you give him a mug for his as his wedding present. Yeah. Cash is king, just note that.
On sports, we've been talking about him. Kevin says, "Well, lads, thought you'd enjoy this. We had our first hurling game back yesterday with Orlando GAA. We were introducing ourselves to our teammates for the day when a young woman came over and her name is Fong. It would be an understatement if I didn't break down inside, almost pissing myself at the first thing that came into my mind was, wahop, wahop." For someone who was as new to the game, she was a dinger in corner forward. That's obviously whenever she was around. The highlight of the day was roars from the sideline. People shouting, "Fucking drive it, Fong!" She was making American lad double her size and still managed to bang in a few goals. These Fongs are a different breed. We had a great day out. We had about 35 show up from it. Jimmy Darba and the lads up there are doing a great job building back the team. Former Tipperary captain of 1983, I think, Liam Bergen, togged out full forward for one of the teams. Not a bother on him. But hurling was not designed for 36 degree weather, and there was lads dropping like flies after the game with the heat. You meet some American characters who love the game, but they come with the American gear on. One lad had an ice hockey helmet, a GoPro attached to it, and swimming shorts. He looked like one of the Bash brothers from Mighty Ducks. Most importantly, we had a few creamy pints afterwards.
Ah, I love that from Kevin. Jesus,
Fong, like, she's got to be Asian or something, I guess.
I guess so. It's quite an unusual name. Fong, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Kevin. But fair play to all the lads out in Orlando, Florida.
Maura, who do you like for the mug?
I like David's story, but can I just say, David, if we don't have enough mugs for everyone who allegedly shifted Johnny B, so...
Casey Sports are all business.
Yeah, but I do like the fact that, you know, you've provided us with a wild story and photographic evidence of it, so that's why I'm giving you the thumbs up.
Photographic evidence of the barbecue fire.
We should stay for the record, yeah.
Pot kettle, Maureen.
Who do you like, John, for the mug?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, you're not happy.
That's fine.
I would have given it to Kevin myself.
In Orlando.
Just the image of like Fong. An American guy marking like a girl called Fong, and the American guy's wearing an ice hockey helmet with a fucking GoPro attached and swimming shorts. To me, I just love that. I love those lads. Like,
do you remember hurling in San Diego?
And there was a lad with the tattoos on his face.
Full face of tattoos, almost like Maori style.
Yeah.
And he had long hair and a beard. He looked like Aquaman.
Yeah, he did.
He was a tank, and he was just running around chopping people up. We were like, what's his story? They said, oh, he tried to make it as a pro ice hockey player and it didn't work out. He's got great hustle. When he learns the rules, he could be great.
Yeah, they're so. I love them, but they're also optimistic. Right, so are we giving the mug to Kevin and out the barbecue fire?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay, right. Kevin. There you go. We'll send one for your sister as well, Kevin. You can email podcast.
No, it's not Kevin's sister.
Huh? David. It's David. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So who are we giving the mug to now? I'm totally confused.
You're my voting for Biden
Orlando. You're
David. David. Sorry, Kevin. David, you're this week's winner.
This is a scandal.
Johnny B's going to hand deliver the mug. You can see kcsports.ie where they carry all the lovely Two Johnnies merch, and twojohnnies.ie, you'll get it there as well.
Just before we move on, we were talking about social media on the podcast.
Yes.
And I have to mention, you all seen it, former Senator Owen Harris, who writes in the Sindo, Sunday Independent.
Oh, yeah.
Has been fired from his role as a columnist.
You've got a bee in your bonnet now about this.
Because he set up a fake Twitter account.
Yeah.
And was retweeting all his own articles and commenting pretty sharp stuff.
Yeah.
My favorite one is he retweets. This morning, Owen Harris calls Mary Lou McDonald Mary Lou McWaffle. Hilarious. I'm loving it.
And he wrote the article.
He wrote the fucking article.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
But that guy, he was a senator. And once at a talent show, I was a competitor. And he told me, you can't sing, you can't play guitar, and you can't write songs.
Oh my God.
When I was about.
Do you want to take this chance to.
19.
To take this chance to have a retort to him?
No, because that's not the kind of podcast this is.
Okay, I'll say it for you. Fuck you. Okay, the weekly roundup.
No. I'll say it from a fake account.
Top banter. Weekly roundup, John. What's been going on?
Where do we start?
Oh my God, what a week.
We start with the big news.
Yeah, let's start with the big news.
We have been campaigning, Maura, for a long time about the price of chicken rolls.
Yes,
we've made no bones about it.
It's been a whole campaign on this podcast that's been running for months and months and months. But finally.
Well, because you could describe the price as.
Oh, outrageous. Yes, finally, the end. It's in sight, lads. We've got big news to bring all of our podcast listeners. You, the people, have got this one over the line. We have been merely, you know, facilitators. In this whole campaign.
We've been in talks. A peace deal has been brokered.
Yes.
With a major distributor of chicken rolls in Ireland.
We are recording this on a Friday, and we can reveal that this morning we signed a peace agreement with none other than Apple Green. Yes. We travelled into their Clonmel store and we sat in the forecourt with a tricolour and a European Union flag emblazoned across our desk, and we sat down and we took great pride in signing an agreement that for a limited time only, unfortunately, the Two Johnnies chicken roll will be available in all Apple Green stores across this beautiful nation of Ireland. And you know how much it's going to be? €4.
Four fucking euro.
No yes. more. Yes. No more shall we have it.
No
for,
more.
For a limited time.
You better believe it.
It's still for a limited time.
It's €4.
So what does the €4?
Four.
Fucking €4. We can't wait till you see the photo.
Justice.
We took.
Justice.
Justice has been served. €4 chicken rolls. You can have a brown roll. You can have a white roll.
You can get butter.
You can get butter and then a sauce of your liking. And then lettuce, cheese and hot chicken.
Any of the chicken you want, spicy.
Yeah, any of the chicken.
Southern fried.
Yeah, any of the sauces.
Get them into you. So and you can walk into an Apple Green and say, give me the Two Johnnies chicken roll.
And it's €4 and you're getting it. And it'll have a little Two Johnnies sticker on the roll as well. And also our heads are going to be emblazoned on every single Apple Green across the country. You'll see our mugs. Not the mugs that you drink out now, just our heads.
If you take a photo on your Instagram story and tag us.
Yeah.
We'll story you back.
We are behind this.
We're
in. This is finally a deal we can stand behind.
If enough people buy the chicken roll.
Yeah, we might be able to keep it at €4. Yeah, let's try and get an extension on that. That's next. Also, we recorded a radio ad. For Apple Green as part of the campaign, and you'll hear it on all the radio stations. We'll give you a little sneak preview. We can play that ad right now. It's not a government announcement, but it does sound a little bit like it. Here's the ad. Hello, we're the Two Johnnies, and we're here to talk to you about something very close to our hearts.
Chicken fillet rolls. For too long now, we've had to put up with substandard chicken rolls at outrageous prices.
Well, that's all about to change, because we've teamed up with Apple Green, who are now making a Two Johnny's signature chicken roll. It's 100% Irish chicken, and it's only €4.
That's class, lad.
I know, lad.
On sale in Apple Green stores nationwide for a limited time only.
Terms and conditions apply, lad.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That does blow you away. A piece has been served, man. I almost was reduced to tears this morning in Apple Green, you know. And then we also got a roll and ate it on the way home.
That was lovely.
Which was even better.
It's really nice.
Really tough to
What look. Else have we been up to? GA training is coming back.
Yeah, it's been... do you know what? For ages, I was like, I can't wait till training comes back. And now that it's just around the corner, I'm going, fuck it, I should have put in more work in the off season. I went for a walk last night and I was like, oh, feeling a pinch in the hamstring. I was like, what am I going to be like Tuesday? I've been doing a lot of like weights and stuff. You know, obviously I've lost a bit of weight in between first and second lockdown, and I've maintained it.
Okay.
But I haven't done much, you know, running, because obviously I despise all forms of movement.
Running is not your friend.
No, hurling is, but running isn't. Some would say they go hand in hand. Not in junior hurling.
No, it's coming back on Tuesday night. I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
I thought, as you said, I was missing it loads.
Yeah, but I thought like, oh, yeah, it'll be back in like August, September job. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been a couple of months away.
Yeah, the government jumped us on it. It was like, you're back next Tuesday. I was like, you bastards.
Damn it, Leo.
No, look, it's great. It's good to be back. This is what we wanted. You were back juvenile training this week.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, how was that for you?
The under-11s. Wild enough. One young lad hit me right in the hand. It was a cold night. I was like, you passed the ball to Sam, smacked it right into my thumb. He's too small, I can't do him.
That would also be illegal. So.
One young fella turned to me last night and I was like, come on, get back on the cone. And he said, are you capping?
What?
I said to one of the boys, what does capping mean? He said, joking. I was like, no, I ain't capping.
Oh my God, where's this kid from?
Should all playing Fortnite and all this crack, all this slang. I turned around at one stage. And I was like, who's next? I looked at the cone and there was one young lad doing the Fortnite dance. I was like, David, the ball.
Man, you have some patience, I swear to God.
It's great crack. I was telling you what, one young lad, his dad is English. And I was wondering, because we're like, great, but you passed the ball to him. And the young lad absolutely lettered it at him. And I went over his head and about 30 yards down the field. And the young lad turned around to him and said, tuck it in, mate. Where did he get that?
Who's the maddest kid down there? Like, what kind of stuff are they coming out with?
There's just one young lad. I asked him. He was just like running around, kicking goalposts and stuff. And I was like, "Come on, you come on, use the head." And he said, "My brain has dissolved." I was like, "You're 9. Where did you get that?"
The future is bright in Care GA.
It's great crack though. It's great. Yeah, we have some games. There's a couple of lads who are unbelievable, and I look at them pinging balls right, left, doing all the flicks. I'm like, where did you get that? Like,
jealous. You're jealous.
You didn't get it off me.
You went for a hike this week. Ruined my weekend.
I did a sunrise hike. So people are like, oh, what time do you go, lads? Type into Google. What time is sunrise? And it'll give you the time in your location and work back from that. So we did Gelty Moor. So I was going at my mate and he's like, have you got head torches? I was like, oh, yeah, no bother.
Oh, no, you probably taped something onto the side of your head now, like.
I don't have a head torch, like, so.
Oh. Well, what are you, a coal miner?
Yeah. I mean, I'll bring me budgie and me canary as well. So he said, he had a spare one for the missus, so.
Okay. So obviously she went up in the dark, you know.
Obviously, sure, I just got this big fuck off lamp from home. Do you know, like a torch?
I know the one you're on.
Your ma would have for going to the sheds. Yeah. With the big, huge red battery.
Why didn't you bring your Marty Moan light?
I couldn't find it.
You'll have to get on to Marty's and send you out another light. God, am I?
Marty's in the hospital. Get well soon, Marty. Yes, he'll be back. You can't stop him, lad. And so I started walking with the huge lamp up Galtee Moor. Thing weighs about 2 kg, like. You know what I mean? You could drive a nail with it. And then I realised that if I just walked beside herself that I'd have enough light.
Yeah.
And I just hid my big lamp in a ditch and just walked beside her the whole way.
It was nice. The pictures look nice, innit? You're proper Insta hun now putting all those on. And I actually got sick trying to have my breakfast.
Smacks unfollowed me.
No, but you see, Maura, like, it's all well and good. He goes up the mountain in the middle of the night. It's me who has to suffer.
How's
you know
so?
What I mean? We go for a few drinks then Saturday night. You know what I mean? Johnny said, oh, well, a few cans. You know what I mean? Oh, like, he's asleep then after two cans. He's up all night walking the fucking mountain. Yeah, you know, how am I supposed to live like this? He's the only person I can legally see.
It's a shambles.
And he's asleep then on the couch. Oh, sorry about last night. It's no bother. I had 15 cans on me own there. Listening to fucking James Taylor or what's James Taylor, yeah.
We watched the entire 1996 Hurling Championship on YouTube.
Oh, if you want to laugh, Wexford Offaly, what a game.
They're murdering each other.
In 96 Leinster final, yeah. Good game.
There's a couple of scores, but it's mostly murder.
Yeah. But that was basically the crack for the week.
It's brilliant, yeah. You got any news, no? That's it?
No. Okay. Not really. But there was a lot of fencing going on out of our house.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of it, obviously, by me. But no, that's basically all that's been going on this week. But if you haven't signed up to the Patreon podcast yet, what are you doing with your life? Last week's extra pod, number 59, I asked Johnny B if he was to be reincarnated as anything and come back, what would it be? He had this madness.
I'd come back as a hot young one and get really good at fingering.
Wow. Okay. I'd come back.
Are you bad at fingering? Have you got bad reviews, Johnny B?
You could always be better, Mark.
From Johnny B, the terrible finger.
No.
I'd come back
So I'll set the record straight there.
Okay, you're a good finger.
Look, you can have yourself on the podcast sometime.
Okay, we'll ask you about your fingering skills. Great. That'll be an interesting episode. This week on the podcast, we're discussing religion and asking all the hard questions like, do Protestants keep their toasters in cupboards? What's the difference between Rastafarian and Pastafarian? What exactly do Scientologists believe in? And is Tom Cruise their God? And please, everyone, you know, don't get offended. We're just trying to have the crack here.
Were you brought up in a religious household?
Yes, semi-religious. Well, no, religious, like, I suppose the grandparents would have been wicked into it, like, you know, they like...
Into it. What did they have? All the t-shirts.
That is like they had the
merch.
They had the Catholic sticker book. You know, it was like Premier League sticker book, but it was just loads of priests.
Oh, you got a Saint Anthony shiny.
Oh no, Padre Pio shiny. That's definitely worth like two, you know, Judas's sticker book. No, they were mad into the religion.
Okay,
you know, one of those families where the parish priest would call around for tea.
Oh.
Like that, just obviously in COVID, but does that still happen where like someone's looking out the window like, quick, clean, the priest is coming.
Old people.
Yeah, and he just come in then and just...
His core demographic's getting older.
Yeah, yeah, he's not as edgy as, you know, they once were.
Did you stop and say the rosary every evening?
I weren't that holy, you know, it is awful, jeez.
Oh, my grandmother done that, we done that as kids.
Go as kids, no, that's too far. D'Angelo's beyond now, all right. Like the ad, you'd be just going to the table to sit down. Next thing you're like, ding, just freeze. Don't fucking move. Don't anyone. No, but no rosaries now or anything like that.
Did you all stay quiet for D'Angelo's?
It would have been me and Annie's house. In our house now, I would have been watching The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know, that was almost 6 o'clock. Let's not be hasty. But I would have went to mass like every Sunday until I was around 13. And then my mother would be like, look, it's up to you now if you want to go or not. And I was like, grand. And I'd go off and get a hard drink. Like,
hard drink.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, a hard drink.
A hard drink, yeah.
Can I explain what that is for people who aren't from Roscrea?
A Mr. Freeze.
An ice pop.
An ice pop, like a hard drink.
More, did you ever
frozen
hear
drink.
That I called a hard drink?
No, I thought that meant you were going for a Glasgow whiskey or something.
Well, I mean, you know, we're wild in Roscrea, but at 13 now, you know, a glass of whiskey was probably...
How do you call frozen...
Mr. Freezes.
An ice pop? A hard drink.
Hard, I don't know, man. That's just what we call it. Yeah, it gives a hard drink in the shop. Okay.
Mass isn't great for kids, though, is it?
No, it's not ideal for kids.
It's
like,
not that entertaining.
Like, what's better, go and getting a hard drink or, you know, the bread?
Sure, the bread wouldn't fill you.
No.
Maybe, like, spiritually it would.
You're so hungry, lad, you're probably getting a sandwich.
Buddy, Christ, get
a sandwich, a fucking turkey BLT or something.
Chicken roll. A holy chicken roll. We went to mass a lot as kids too, and it's just you go and you stand there and look around and you try sitting near the radiator, and that's about the size of it.
Yeah, cold mornings can be grim in churches. Like, do you see your own breath? Like,
no, I got to be an altar boy, savage crack.
Was it?
Oh, it was mad crack. Yeah, you got to get off school.
How did you get off school?
Because sometimes
you're an altar boy the weekend.
Oh no, man, it's full time job. So during the week there could be mass at 10. There'd be 10 o'clock mass in Care. And two lads would get to walk.
Really?
Yeah.
During the week?
Yeah. Walk from the primary school down to the church on your own, unsupervised.
Wow.
You might throw an old stone at a snail or something. Ah, you're a
wild man, yeah. That's crazy. I didn't know that. I didn't know there was actually even 10 o'clock mass. I mean, one of the things about religion is like, you know, you get baptized and you're like, oh, you're a child of God. And, you know, you like, the onus is on the parents to bring the kids to mass.
Mm.
I would nearly bring in a rule where it's like, don't bring them until they're old enough to shut the fuck up.
Oh, babies.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Imagine baby, like when the babies cry. And there's such a good echo in the church. It's like one baby sounds like around 10 million. It's like, oh. And Sunday morning, the church have got to, you know, be like, listen, Sunday morning is not the best time.
For babies.
For people. Like, if you have a flake of pints, like, last place you want to go is mass. Like.
Well, should you get mass Saturday evening before you go to the pub?
Yeah, well, maybe you should have, like, you know, mass there, like, 2 o'clock on a Saturday. Give a lad a chance. Give a lad a run at the weekend. Like. Friday night mass. There you go.
Well, it's not the Sabbath day, I suppose. Saturday.
I hadn't thought that one through now.
Saturday
night in Roscrea used to be a nice mass. Now the folk group be there.
Yeah, oh, folk mass on Saturday night.
Used to be a bit more interesting, a little bit of a sing song.
There'd be no teacher with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, well, when I say sing song, though, it's not a lot of lads like singing Seven Drunken Nights around. You know, it's like a couple of hymns.
Her eyes, they shone.
Come on, Father. I do like this one.
He sings this one lovely.
Throw us over the wine, Father. We're getting going down here.
It'd be better than the Sunday mass now where they'd
in
have.
In a neat little town to come. Is that wine nearly done, Father? It's a blessed you.
On the Sunday, they'd have the organ going.
Oh. What an odd instrument, yeah.
The organ, huge.
Yeah. Big fucking yoke. But like, you start your journey early, right? Baptism. You got no choice in that.
Yeah, I don't remember my baptism, right? Though, but go on.
Bang. You're in then hot. For us, like, you know, Catholics, Christians, communion. That's the big one. Mini wedding.
Yeah.
The mini wedding.
But a child brides.
Yeah, child brides and young lads in suits. I didn't wear a suit now, I just had Ben Sherman.
Did you?
A pair of Ben Sherman pants and a Ben Sherman shirt, yeah.
We wore the uniform. No, you wouldn't know who had money or who didn't.
Oh, yeah, I think we touched on that before because I wore like a Ku Klux Klan basically outfit for the. Yes,
moving on.
That was the confirmation. Do other religions get what sacraments do they get? Like?
Oh, well, I suppose the Jews have the. You get to snip when you're a baby.
Mm.
A bar mitzvah. Oh, no, sorry. That's when you're...
A bar mitzvah is when you're a man. Is that when you're like 13 or something?
Yeah. You have to kind of pass a bit of a test. You're supposed to know... Well, it's not like, you know, a serious test.
Right,
you have to know the crack with the book and all, the Torah.
Okay. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I'm sure they all have ceremonies. I like the Amish one. What do they call it? Rumspring?
Rumspringa.
Where you know, the Amish are pretty...
Yeah, go on.
They don't use electricity around.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all...
Kind of, they're like Carlo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, no electricity, no mobile phones. They do a lot of farming. Horse and cart.
Oh, yes. I watched that program, Breaking Amish, before.
They don't even use tractors. They're plowing a field with ox.
That's hardship.
That is hardship. I thought ox was only came in soup form. I didn't know it was a real thing anymore. So they have a thing, Rumspringa. So around the age of 16, they let you off into the city for, I think it's a year, and you just go bananas. And then you...
Like a stag for a year.
Yeah, you have to come back and then decide, right, I'm going to be a full-blown Amish. My favourite thing about the Amish, once you get married, you can grow a beard, but you can never have a moustache. Amish men are not allowed have mustaches.
They have odd beards. Like, it's weird when you grow a beard and you don't have a mustache. You've just got like the bottom. That's a terrible look.
Yeah, theirs are huge. Like, they are quite unusual. And women, Amish women, never cut their hair.
Ever.
Yeah.
Apparently. Even when they get married.
No, they have real, real long hair. Open a bonnet, like.
What the fuck is that? You'd be covered in headlights.
You know what? They wear the bonnet going around the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loads of hair. Do you know who else doesn't cut their hair? Not to be jumping around, but Sikhs.
Yes, the boys. I always wondered with
the turban.
The turban, yeah.
We had a lad, he was a taxi driver one night. He was saying that. He has to wash his hair every day.
Jesus.
And he never cuts it. So it's down to his legs, like.
Must spend the fortune on conditioner.
I don't know how. Well, I suppose nobody's going to see it.
Yeah, but you'd have to try it or Barry, you'd get chilled, like.
Definitely.
Jeez, that's unbelievable.
We're getting a handy one here. We Catholicism are. Is handy. Well, it is the way we do it.
Well,
we're a half arsenal, to be fair.
That's putting it mildly. Maura, would you still take a bit of mass now?
Would I?
What if she got it?
I suppose I would. Like, I like the kind of chilled out atmosphere at mass. I wouldn't be the biggest fan of organized religion people telling you to live your life this way or that way. I think it's just generally, like, the way that somebody described the Bible as just, you know, a guide to live a good life. You know, that thing about eating fish on a Wednesday and Friday, that's just good dietary advice. You know, love everyone. That's just a good way to live your life. You know, the other stuff that they're a bit more militant about, you know, it's a bit like, I could leave that alone. So
times are changing, aren't they? It's not like back in the day. I think we need a new, like, funked up church.
Yeah. Well,
can Bruno Mars on the music. Do you know what I mean?
The Catholic Church may not be the ones for, like.
Ah, no, we start our own church. Church of the Two Johnnies.
Why are you going full Scientology? Well, just
what's the crack with those lads?
So,
because sorry, can I read out a bit of correspondence I got sent during the week? This isn't.
Everyone has heard about Scientology. You know, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Scientology, American. They wear suits, shirts, black ties, very secretive.
Yeah. So just by chance, I got sent in this on the Patreon, and it says, obviously anonymous. Well, lads, another one for you, but keep me anonymous. You read this out, right? Episode 29, you were talking about girls Irish dancing in the Scientology HQ in Firhouse.
On the Extra Pod.
Yeah, that was on the Extra Pod, right? And this guy says, in his previous job, not long after the Scientology place opened, I used to maintain the lawns and landscaping in there, and it's a sketchy and weird place, true and true. The place is littered with security, and the staff which work in the place seem to be brainwashed. They all walk and talk like robots. I stopped going into the canteen in there, even though I was allowed, because the people in there would go silent when I enter and stare at me for being an outsider. Extremely creepy. I couldn't go to the toilet in there without being escorted by security to and from there. Inside there, they have a huge 5,000-plus-seater auditorium, which seems to be never used. They also have two quality football pitches on the grounds, complete with fancy changing rooms, which are also very rarely used, but I still had to maintain it. And the worst thing, which I still can't get out of my head, is around the back of it, they have steps down to the basement of the door, also guarded, and it says, cleansing room above it. I don't know what goes on in there, and when I asked the staff member about it, they stopped talking to me and kept walking. Keep me anonymous. It's a very dodgy place and a dodgy society.
I can't believe.
No, obviously that's just the views of one of our listeners to the Extra Pod. But
lad, they've got two pitches they're not using.
Yeah,
in Dublin.
If the GA heard about that, lad, they'd be all over.
What the fuck?
The Scientology boys aren't too bad. They're renting the pitch at a reasonable price, and they're giving us a grant towards the floodlights.
Don't know me.
Yeah, the auditorium is what I'm on about. 5,000-seater.
Jesus.
That would be the second biggest music venue in Dublin, like outside of a stadium.
Indoor. They don't use it.
Jesus, like if they...
Ah, come on, surely Pat Short's done a gig there. Come on. Tommy's done 5 or 6 nights there, surely.
That's unbelievable. I'm blown away by that. What's the crack with these lads?
Founded in the 1950s by L. Ron Hubbard. Who was he? A science fiction writer.
Oh.
Who is once on record as having said, the best way to make money is to start a religion.
Well, he seems a pretty straight up guy.
Straight up guy. One of the top religions in the world who would sue you.
Who?
The Scientologists.
Just want to go on record as saying.
Great guys.
Great guys, the Scientology guy. More power to you, lads. More power to you. And ladies.
So we're trying to break down exactly what they believe. But as said, they're quite secretive, the Scientologists. Now they do. A mate of mine got stopped on the street in America by these people. Like, oh, would you like to take a personality test?
Okay, right.
And he's on holiday. He said, yeah, sure, go on. They were Scientologists. And they were hoping that your personality would be a bit, show that you were maybe
susceptible to.
Yeah, or seeking positive affirmations. You really like people telling you how great you are and all. You want to avoid them.
Oh, shit.
So,
I'd be just straight in the door.
What do I do?
And you have a soccer pitch.
What do I do with my money? But my mate knew what the crack was. And at the end of it, they just said to him, that's fine, you can go.
Okay.
He gave him a load of bullshit answers.
Is that like where Keith Barry checks like how susceptible you are to stuff at his gigs?
A little bit.
Have you been at one of those gigs?
Well, I wouldn't be comparing Keith Barrigig to Scientology. Maybe a little bit.
Oh, Gasly, he made us all stand up and close our eyes.
Yeah.
And he was like, this was like in the Clonmel Park. I just went into the gig. And he was like, pretend you have a feather in one hand and like a bowling ball in the other.
Okay.
And like, do you know, I was doing this for a few seconds and I was like, oh, yeah. And then I opened my eyes to look around. And then most people were like, you know, fairly centered. I looked around at me, buddy. The man was toppled over. He was nearly so he nearly fell out the door with the weight of this imaginary bowling ball. And I was thinking, if Keith Harry sees this lad, he's going to bring him on fucking tour with him. I swear to God, it's probably not the same thing, but I reckon like, yeah.
Well, kind of, yeah, susceptible. So Scientologists believe basically you live multiple lives and you have trauma. And something about aliens, I'm not making this up, they believe that aliens put all the badness in people. And that there is a load of spirits trapped in, is it a volcano or something? And a spaceship's going to come and take them away. Scary, mad stuff.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I got tested by Scientologists once. They were selling books at the Virginia Agricultural Show for some reason.
What the fuck were they doing there?
Is there a big following for Scientology in Virginia?
I don't know, but I...
They went to Cavan selling books. That's their first fucking problem.
Yeah, they're like...
Scientology Hill.
They're like, do you want to do a test? And I was like, yeah, sure. And they put these two like metal things in my hand and then hooked it up to some machine and they're asking me a bunch of questions. And they were like... At the end of it, they're like, yeah, you're really stressed. We can see from the reading machine. And I was like, no, actually, I've just left my dog tied up over there. And because we were in a tent, he was like right beside the baked goods and he was making a lunge for some apple tart. I was like, that's what was stressing me out. So,
they didn't ask you into
the Cavan branch of the Scientology?
No, I think they tried to sell me a book or something. I was like, I know you're grand. Thanks.
What? Who were the lads who called to the door, lad? You were absolutely busting their chops there, weren't they?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
I say he left going like, fuck all sorts of religion. That guy, you bet him down, lad.
He called to me several times. And even when I was real busy at work, when I was making Hurleys at the time, I was like, oh, here he is. Look on, it's himself. Every argument I would have with him, he would say, no, I see what you're saying, but it says here in the Bible. And I was like, yeah. How old is the Bible, lad?
Okay, so this was the main crux of your argument to us.
It's like, so you're talking about Old Testament.
Yeah.
So this is written 3,000 years ago. And it's been translated through about four religions. And some of the people translating it might have been a typo. Somebody might have had an agenda.
Okay.
If I was to write down what you said, I might not write it down correctly. And then Neil was to translate it into feckin' Aramaic. And then that
which he's more than capable of doing. He can,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So this was, and I was, everything he said, he was only justifying it by what it says here in the Bible. And I was like, man, let's forget about the Bible for a sec. What do you think?
Mano on mano.
Mano to mano. Yeah, eventually he stopped calling.
You broke him down, lad, poor old devil.
But they're a gas crowd as well. They arrived in Tip Town and they built all those red brick bungalows like real quick in about a couple of weeks.
So they're obviously class of building.
Yeah.
Who are the boys that were at the Fela?
The Stunning. I don't think they're a religion. They're just from the 80s. Who are we talking about? Who was the Fela?
The Hare Krishna.
Oh, the Hare Krishnas. Oh, I don't know what they are. They're not. Are they actually a religion, are they?
Can you Google that, Neil? See what they are. Like, I don't know what
they're sitting on the ground singing songs.
Yeah, with like drums and stuff. Do you remember like we went to the Fela a couple of years ago and they were there? I was like, what's going on?
Wearing colourly clothes with shaved heads and stuff.
Yeah.
I was in Indonesia for a bit and they have all these little travel wanker. You wake up in the morning and there'd be a little bit of a shrine and they'd put down a plate of rice and a bit of a drink and all.
Sorry, it's laughing. It's stunning.
That's good, wasn't
it's
it?
Great. That was a good one.
So they'd light these candles and incense and it was like a gift to Buddha every day or whatever. But this is like, but the fucking ants were everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
After half an hour, the thing was hopping with ants.
Are these the boys now who worship the chubby lad?
No, that's the fat Buddha, as they call him, is the kind of the Chinese version of Buddhism.
He looks like he's a bit of crack. Of all the religions, no, he's the type of lad you'd be going for a pint with.
If you could go for a pint with one god,
it'd be Buddha.
Yeah.
Although Jesus, you know, our Jesus, like, was a good looking man.
How do you know?
Well, the photos, like, oh, yeah, like,
yeah.
They may have been touched up, you know.
What?
Do you reckon Jesus was using filters?
Yeah.
Every photo of Jesus, he's white. Like, he was a Middle Eastern man, you know.
The chances of him being white now is,
I've
like,
been mind fucked now. I thought, like, Jesus, what would Jesus he'd clean up like?
Well, he might.
He'd break the whole bit of ball. Like, you know.
Well, he'd be famous.
He'd yeah, I mean, the coppers of Jesus. He'd be just like, fuck it, I'll get some sort of scraps off him. He's walking in my arm. He skipped a queue because he just walked straight over the queue.
Somebody spills a pint. Don't step on that. No problem.
He doesn't even go to the bar either. He doesn't go to the bar. He just comes in and just one fella hands him a glass of water and bang, everyone's on fucking wine then for the night. And he just turns around to you and goes, I've done it again. Goes, right, he comes out with coppers. He comes out with coppers. He goes down to Babylon.
Yeah.
Fuck Jesus, there's not enough food. Is there not? Give me a second. And I haven't got any loaves and fishes. Bang, everyone's on kebabs.
Oh, walking on water, lad. Huh?
He's scared. Right, I'm away home down the canal.
Can't get a taxi. Pour a bottle of water out on the ground in front of him. The laughing Buddha, the fat Buddha. I don't really like calling him the fat Buddha.
Yeah, that seems a bit like
disrespectful, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does.
He's the Chinese Buddha. But that's like Buddhism. Who are the boys? They shave their heads, wear the orange
skinheads.
Yeah, but not like fascists. I mean, they shave their heads and they wear the orange. Do you know, like Shaolin monks going around doing karate?
Oh, all? Yeah, Shaolin Masters. Remember that soccer one?
Yeah,
that was a terrible film. Yeah.
Ah, that was funny. Did you ever see Shaolin Soccer?
That's the one I'm on about.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I like all the Buddhists. I like the Hindus. So, do you know what people say? Karma.
Karma's going to get you.
Yeah, and they think like, oh, you took someone's parking space, so, yeah, you know, the dog's going to shit in your kitchen. That's not what it means. They believe in reincarnation. And if you're a bad person in this life, you'll be reincarnated as something dirt, like a worm.
Shit. Not to be mistaken with the Karma nightclub in Athlone. That's a whole different type of karma.
Whole different type of karma.
On religions. Yeah. Blown away by the stats on it. Christianity accounts for 31% of the world. Islam, 20%.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. Christianity is the most popular
religion in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Most popular. Like, we're saying it like it's a fucking food dish. Islam. And then, like, honestly, this blew me away. Third on the list, atheists. It didn't blow me away. I mean,
like, I'm surprised at that.
To be honest, you could probably say that us as not going to mass and that are probably atheists.
Yeah, but a billion people say that they don't have a religion.
Mm.
I'd love to know where in the world they are. Actually, sorry, a lot of them are probably in China. Most rich countries, not very religious.
That is true, yeah.
The poorer the country, the more religious they are in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but if things are going shit, you know, it's nice to be like, hey, big man in the sky, fucking do me a solid here.
Anthony?
Need that job. Yeah, you lose your keys.
That's honestly, if you surveyed Irish people, that's the only time they're holy. It's when they've lost some. Begging St. Anthony then, like, Jesus, come on, I lost my wallet, like. I don't know, does it work?
There's a billion Hindus, 500 million Buddhists. The Chinese traditional religion is nearly 400 million.
What's that now?
I don't know.
When it's at home?
I don't know.
Just
the Chinese tell you
just made up the Roman, okay.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm asking you because you're, you know, well-read.
They have all, I don't know, man. They've all their own, they used to have loads of gods.
Right. I'm with you. Go on, loads of gods. Okay,
but they got rid of a few.
Wow, you know what I mean. And people wonder why this podcast is going so well.
No, so years ago there was loads of gods. Like the Greeks had loads of gods.
Yeah,
god of war.
Also, the China had something similar.
I think so. I don't know. Somebody from China.
A super league of gods. No.
Then it was a breakaway.
Okay. Do you know what?
What?
Judaism. 0.1% of the population for only 14.7 million. I thought there was loads of them.
Because you're always hearing about
it. Yeah. How does that come about?
They've got good PR. I don't know.
This, yeah, they hired Edelman, did this, do the PR, like. Jesus Christ.
African religions now, they've got some mad stuff.
Like, there's one religion I watched, I think it could have been An Idiot Abroad, or maybe it was like Ramesh or something. One of them made a travel show, and they went out, and there was this tribe who just worshipped the royal family.
In Africa?
Yeah. And it was like proper, like they had photos of them, and that's who they worshipped. Like, that was like their god. Like, I don't know why.
Jeez.
If you Google that, I think I'm pretty sure it's that, An Idiot Abroad or something.
Man, there's an island called Vanuatu down near fucking East Timor and all that, right? Really? And during the Second World War, this lad was driving a fighter plane, you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
And he'd parachute out because he was having engine trouble or whatever. And he landed like near the top of a volcano and he came down. And now they worship him as a god.
Well, because they think he like came from the sky.
Yeah, and they say things like, oh yeah, he's going to come back. The prophecy says he's going to come back with gifts like chewing gum and lighters and obviously whatever he had in his pockets when the plane crashed.
Wow.
I'm not joking. There's a whole tribe of people who worship your man. His name is John.
He's obviously dead, is he?
Yeah, but he went back to America and just lives a normal life, like not knowing.
Okay,
they were worshipping him. Like.
Right. Sorry, I thought like...
He got picked up on a boat like and went home.
That must have been hard for him. He was probably half tempted to go, fucking stay here now and I'll get out now and...
Yeah, but then,
right life here.
Yeah, but what happens when they're like, oh, there's a famine. Come on, God, fix it. And he's like, oh, hocus pocus.
We ran out of chewing gum.
Got to run. Who haven't we mentioned? The Muslims, right? They're doing Ramadan. Is that on now?
It was on anyway, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
So you can't eat or drink while the sun is up. Mm. Eating is one thing, not even a drink of water. That's some discipline.
Tough. And it's for some of the professional athletes, that must be very tough. I see like Salah and Mane with Liverpool and stuff like that.
So if the game is on during the day, they can't take a drink of water?
I'm assuming so, unless like for some, you know, they're allowed a reprieve or that. But I don't think so. I'm honestly not sure. But I know that I think Wolves played a couple of weeks ago and one of their lads was on Ramadan. And like when the sun went down after like 20 minutes in the match, he went over and like got a load of energy pouches and stuff like that.
Wow.
Horsed them into him, yeah. I think they'd agreed to stop it like after a certain time, which is fair enough as well. Can we get on to like some of the mad ones? I know like we've left out so much.
Just also on the Muslims, they don't drink at all.
Oh, fuck.
They don't eat pork.
Yeah, like, you know, everybody's got their beliefs and more power to them, but like I'd really miss rasher and sausage. You know, if I was to convert to one now, if you were saying to me, like, Smacks, you have to convert to one now.
Yeah, that would...
Although, I have to be honest, some of the ones later on we're going to get, like, Rastafarian now. It wouldn't mean to me now. I don't like the old smell of weed, you know, or hash. But I'd probably go for the Pastafarians. They sound like a ripe bit of crack.
So, Pastafarian, this is a made-up take on creationism. Sorry, creationism. We never even got into that. That's where people actually believe the Adam and Eve thing.
But that's a brother and sister shagging each other.
Their kids would have been brother and sister and would have had to populate the whole world, yeah. So no wonder we're all so stupid.
It's dangerous business.
So this is in a nutshell, my issue with the Bible.
Well, I didn't expect to go here on this. I thought we were just going to have a bit of crack with the whole relate, but go on anyway.
So they say like, you know, Adam and
Fatter
Eve.
O'Brien.
God made Adam and Eve and then, you know, she ate from the tree of knowledge and...
Who ate the apple now?
Eve.
Okay, right.
Look, women, you know, don't eat the tree. What does she do?
Oh, Johnny, you
sexist. I'm sorry,
sexist.
I'm only joking.
You misogynist.
I'm only joking. But that's the way the Bible spins it, man.
Yeah.
Right? And then, so they get kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and they have to go downtown and start a new life, a new farming, all right? And they populate the whole world from their own kids.
That's just the most fucking flat out.
Exactly.
Fucking flat out.
It's a scary thought. But people who are into all that creationism think that's what actually happened, whereas other people kind of take it as a bit of a metaphor for pasta.
Let's finish with a little bit of fun. Pastafarians,
yeah.
Right, created as a lighthearted take on religion in the early noughties by Bobby Henderson that worships the flying spaghetti monster.
Yes.
Now, this is the kind of religion I want.
I've seen a lot of memes.
A good carbohydrate religion, you know, carb heavy, you know, these lads aren't bothered by health, they're just... They're going for it. How do you... Someone's chair is squeaky also, but how do you be like, We're a religion now.
Well, you apply for like Jedi's, you know, in Star Wars.
Right.
So they tried to like make Jedi an official religion. And in 2005, the Temple of the Jedi Order was registered in Texas. It was granted IRS tax exemption status in 2015. So the church, like in Ireland, don't pay tax because they have charitable status.
We really need to get on the religion trend.
That is what I'm telling you about. Scientologists. Start a religion. It's tax-free.
Maura, interested in maybe starting some sort of to Johnny's religion? Neil, you've got a bit of time in your hands.
As long as it doesn't turn into a cult, yeah, okay.
No, it'll never be a cult.
Well,
yeah. Couple of cults in it, all right.
These things never intend to start, you know what I mean? Started with a couple of chicken rolls and tax-free money, and then before you know it, we're all shaving our heads.
Oh my God. The Pastafarians though, like, this is legit, like, this is real, yeah? The Pastafarian conception of heaven includes a beer volcano and a stripper or sometimes prostitute factory. I take it back on the Pastafarians. And Pastafarian hell is similar, except that the beer is stale and the strippers have STDs.
It's just rag week.
I mean, and those guys aren't paying tax.
I don't know if the Pastafarians got it. The Jedi's got it. The Star Wars fans got it.
Yeah, they're not going to be having any sex.
Religions in Ireland. Roman Catholics, about 80%. None, about 10%. Church of Ireland, nearly about 3%. Then the rest is a mix. And we've got about 1% Muslim.
Yeah.
Are you surprised? That's about the crack, I says.
That's probably about what I thought with it now, in fairness. I'm just still blown away by these fucking Pastafarians. But just from what I've researched now, and I could be wrong, sorry now, I know we're jumping all over a lot of topics. But the difference between Catholic and Protestants.
Yeah, about like the toaster in the oven and yeah, Abba and
all the stuff from Dairy Girls. It says on religious sacraments here. Now, Neil, I think this was you who whipped this up for us, so obviously you know if anybody's got any problems to.
We've got seven.
We've got seven sacraments for the Catholics.
Yeah, and but they're not all sessions. Right, christening,
fabulous session.
Confirmation.
Well, you're not going to be drinking yourself, but everyone else can have a bit of
communion. That's only a handy session.
The families go all out now for communions, marquees and bouncing castles, the whole lot.
Right, marriage, great session.
Good session, yeah.
Penance, not really.
Not much crack.
No. Anointing of the sick.
Oh, your curtains then. It's kicking out time then.
Yeah.
But am I right in saying there's less sacraments if you're a Protestant?
Do they not have communion? Oh, they do have communion. They don't have confirmation.
Oh, they're missing out on an awful payday.
Is that, are we correct there that Protestants don't do confirmation?
Neil, can you...
Based on everything I read, yeah. There was...
Based on everything you read.
Oh, look, lad, I went down Neil. A huge rabbit hole last
night. Okay.
Come on, Neil. You don't have one Protestant friend. No. Oh, Neil. Showing your true colours. Yeah, they have different views on Mary, don't they?
Yeah, that she wasn't a virgin.
Ooh, thrown shade.
Sorry. But no, I think he's right, because I do remember asking Ivan Yates about it. Ivan Yates is obviously a Protestant, and his kids, I don't think, made confirmation. I remember just being aghast, like, but they missed out on so much money.
God, a good grand nowadays, I'd say.
Confirmation?
On a confirmation.
Like, away.
I'm telling you.
No way.
I did.
How much did you make?
I got about a grand from mine.
For your confirmation?
Yeah, this is back.
What? Two years ago. You're just really mature for your age.
Andy. Man, I'm blown away by
what was that, Neil? Around?
You got 1,000 euro?
15 years ago?
2006-ish.
2006, yeah.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, I would have came close to that as well.
Okay.
So for mine.
If we need so much correspondence on this. For Protestants, please let us know what the crack is. Oh, I went to a service in a Protestant church once. I think it was a funeral or something. I was young, but they had like a pulpit, but up a spiral staircase, so he was up real high.
All right,
and he was a good 10 or 12 foot off the ground. Jeez. We don't have that in the Catholic churches. No.
But before we finish on religion, and please do give us in your correspondence, or if you've had any like church mishaps or any funny memories from
trying to take Kurt as my confirmation name because I was a Nirvana fan.
Give us all that kind of stuff. But the rabbit hole that we all went down led us to discovering Christian rock. I mean, there's a whole rock scene out there just for Christians. You know what I mean? We're all singing about God and stuff. So while we end this topic, can we just play out with a little bit of Christian rock?
God in the club.
Once went blind after listening to a Mike Denver album. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Well, Noel, how are you?
What was that?
Something repeating on you, like.
I'm due to get the vaccine.
Oh, brilliant
news. I'll be getting it soon now, yeah.
Good, so when are you getting it?
I mean, I should be getting it soon now. Hey, did you hear? Paddy Stepp didn't take it at all.
Who's Paddy Stepp?
You know Paddy Stepp? He's always out walking.
Oh, yeah.
Real unusual walk. He's kind of like a pheasant in nettles. Huh?
Yeah.
He'd be going around. You wouldn't know where. He's not sure where he's going, but he's mad to get there. Right? You know, Paddy Stepp, very fit.
Yeah.
Said he walks 20 miles a day. I had to be broke up compared to him. He didn't like. I said, what's your secret, Paddy? He said, cod liver oil. And prostitutes. Well, I had to inquire further. He said, well, this is 20 miles a day. It was 10 miles to Cashel and back.
That's scandalous.
Yeah, service off one. He'd be there in 20 minutes, 4 hours to come home. But he's not taking the vaccine.
No, why?
He's afraid it'll affect his sex drive. I said, I thought you were walking. I wouldn't begrudge a man going to Cashel if he had to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
As I always say, ride local, ride Irish.
Yeah.
And if a fella, if you have to go at himself, well...
So be it.
Wank local. Wank Irish.
See,
be looking, at foreign ones. They're no good for you. What could have done you? Affecting your sex drive. Do you ever hear the like?
Yeah.
Couldn't you get a lift?
It's too much explained to
do. Do you know who else said they wouldn't take it?
Well,
Jimmy the Lank. Jimmy the Lank.
Yeah?
He said he's not going to take it.
Why?
And the same fella, he arms like shoelaces, that fella. You know Jimmy the Lank?
I know, yeah.
Needle to go through him. Oh, they won't give me the jab. He said, the same man is powered by fags. I have never seen him eat.
Jimmy?
Not once. Maybe a coffee.
Oh, right.
Now, all right, coffee is cool now. He was drinking it back when Norm was drinking it.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s when it was only for hobos. And fashion types.
Fashion types?
Ah, in order, fuckers. And I heard another fella saying it'll give you 5Gs.
5G?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it'd be handy because the internet is very slow, aren't we? I don't mind. Well, if it reopens the pub.
Exactly.
I'll drink it out of Arlene Foster's tit. You can piss it into me. Open them up. Do you want news?
Yes, please.
Liechtenstein. Right, and I know what you're thinking. Jesus, Noel, you're really struggling without the pub. News about shagging Liechtenstein. I like a bit of shooting.
Yeah?
I'd shoot. Not an endangered species, though.
Good man.
Like an honest politician.
Oh, yeah.
They're all on the news and during the week on the radio about houses.
Yeah.
Why do people need big houses? I did it the farmer way.
Right, go on.
I inherited an old farmhouse and we did it up ourselves. We put the blocks up one summer, tipped away, got the roof done the following year. Easy does it. Didn't get the windows in for 2 years after that. Now we were cowled eating breakfast, but we tipped away. We got it done in the end. Now there's no tiles in the back kitchen. There's a few pipes exposed in the ground. There's a bit of a howl, mind yourself, going down in the dark, but I'll get around to them. We'll get to it.
How long have you been doing it up?
Well, herself asked me to put up shelves there. There's a few years ago.
Yeah.
I'll get them. I get it. There's wires held up with sellotape. Now, I did ask Smokey Burke, what do you do? The wiring. And he's to come back and finish it.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, this is going on about 30 years. But we chip away. No panic. Herself give out to me. I never plastered around the window that I put in. There's a draft blowing, she says. I bet a draft never done us any harm.
No.
Some people love a draft. Drafts are very cool now.
What do you mean?
Ventilation, they call them now.
Oh. I think there's a difference.
Well, the window needs to be plastered. I'll get around to it. Yeah. I'll tip away.
Easy does.
There's no point paying tradesmen to do something when you can do it yourself. She wanted to get a new kitchen. I said, where are you going to put it? Well, they have a kitchen. She said, it's very old. I said, I'm very old. You're going to throw me out too, is it? What do you want two kitchens for? I haven't finished one we have.
How does she take that?
She's not too bad. She'll get around it. The Prince of Liechtenstein,
yes,
shot a brown bear.
Whoa.
Endangered. He was over in Romania, whatever the fuck brought him there, and they granted him a special license so he could shoot this one bear. But it had to be this female bear who was going into town causing trouble. Wouldn't that be handy, huh? Your Honour, she was going into town spending too much money on shampoo, causing trouble.
Shampoo.
Fire away and all. No. But what did he shoot instead? The biggest brown bear in all of Europe.
Wow.
Arthur is the name of the bear, not your man. But John Paul once had a fish called Rover. I threw him out.
Why?
Fuck Rovers, that's why. How the prince mixed up a female brown bear on the edge of town with the biggest male bear in all of Europe in the middle of the forest. Imagine going to the disco with that fella.
Oh, shit.
Well, did you get off with that young one? No, but I woke up in bed with Anthony Daly. Easy mistake to make. And they gave him a gun.
Yeah.
And the police are looking into it.
Okay.
I have fucking more chance of arresting Marty Whelan for crimes against fashion.
Oh, Marty Whelan is a stunning man.
Exactly. that prince, you're not going to get nicked.
Nicked.
Let's all hope this doesn't affect the Liechtenstein tourism industry too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we all had our trips booked, didn't we?
We all had our hearts set in, yeah.
In local news...
God, you look upset.
My son has an addiction. And I'm so ashamed.
Oh my God.
I walked in on him. His eyes were red. Skin was pale. He'd lost weight. I caught him with a computer game. Fuck it. Fuck it anyway. The wife said he didn't leave his room all weekend.
Oh my God.
I assumed there was a young one in there. And when I heard the shouting, I thought, okay, she's from Carrick. We're in a pandemic. You can't choose the ball coming into you. You can only hurl the ball you get.
Yeah.
And I went, he had a headset on him like to Shannon Airport. I said, what are you doing? He said, Call of Duty. Call of Duty? What about the Call of the Shower? He'd be heading you like a jam donut. He was as white as Joe Dolan's washing machine. 4 days. And all he'd eaten was Rolos and Blu-Tack.
Blu-Tack.
Shouting at the telly. I said, it's not the Grand National. They can't hear you. This isn't real. Come down to the kitchen. Watch Fair City with us.
Yeah.
He wouldn't anyway. Lockdown has been tough on young people.
It has.
I got him back training. I got him out the yard, running around, lifting blocks, carrying buckets of water, mixing cement. Yeah. Well, I got him to build a shed.
Yeah.
And that is Call of Duty.
That's a Call of Duty knows, right, yeah.
He has to be ready for when training starts back.
Yeah.
I got on to Dicey Dave. He has the powder.
Uh-oh.
The protein.
Oh, all right.
Apparently... You take a drink of this protein, post a photo on Instagram, and bang, 2 weeks later, you're a personal trainer. He got him all the stuff.
Did he?
Ketamine. Or is it fucking...
No,
creatine. Whatever it is, he's moving farewell. Hadn't played the computer in 2 weeks.
Jenny.
He's put on a stone of muscle and his head is 4 inches bigger.
Is he on steroids?
Well, he started taking these tablets and I tell you, the junior championship can't come fast enough. He can barely fit in the door.
He won't be able to get a helmet on.
He started wearing vests and eating chicken for breakfast. And there must be great weather in the building site because he's the only man in the parish with a fake tan and no chest hair. And I met Dicey Dave and I said, hey, himself is like a new man. And he said, yeah, that's steroids for you. And I said, yeah, steroids. I was starting to wonder when he shaved his head and started speaking Russian. And then he said he wanted to get a job in the meat factory. I said, I hear now. So I looked up steroid side effects on Google. And I said to him, your Mickey gets smaller. Well, he fucked the bottle out the window. There's no point winning a championship if you can't celebrate. Hey, dinkies don't win derbies. As a fact.
Thanks a million, Noah.
He's back.
Best luck with the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dicey Dave will give me some sort of yoke anyway.
Oh, Jesus Christ. She educates us in things we would really rather not know about. Maureen, what's your mystery topic going to be this week?
Going to be nice to you this week and go all lovey-dovey to the point of it being a little bit pukey. My topic this week is a question for you. I want to know, how do you know if someone is the one? And do you believe that there's actually just one person out there for you on a planet of 7 billion people? So, I've been dating my boyfriend for about over a year now. And we've been through a lot, but we actually haven't done normal relationship stuff. There hasn't been like the milestone markers of him meeting your friends, him, you know, you bring them to a wedding, you meeting his parents, going out for dinner, all that. Like, we've been kind of, you know, just in that.
Yeah.
Oh, call over to his house. He calls over to my house, get a takeaway, watch a DVD. It's actually pretty feckin' boring at this stage. But anyway, it's now getting to the point where my friends are asking me, we've been going out that long, they're like, oh, do you think you'll get married? Do you think you'll have kids? It's like, you haven't met him. Like, you know. But he is like a really nice guy. Now, I'm wondering, what's your thoughts on it? Like, if you ask people, like someone, like, oh, how did you know such and such was the one? Like, how do you know your husband was the one? They might, like, shrug and be like, ah, you know, we just clicked. But I kind of think that's bullshit. I think you have certain markers in your relationship. And if you, you know, oh, we don't row, we don't do this, we don't do that, we like the same things. Like, actually, the Huffington Post have asked psychologists about this and they came back with 8 things that they said that, you know, if you agree with these criteria, then you've met the one. So, number one, you love being together but encourage your partner to have a separate life outside of your relationship. Number two, they care about your opinions and you care about theirs. Number three, there's a near instant feeling of familiarity. Number four, you're comfortable being vulnerable around them. Now, I think this is probably the most important one because, like, you know, if a guy holds your hair back while you're puking into the toilet, he is a keeper.
Especially when the pubs haven't been open.
Yes. You know, you have to be comfortable. You can't be like getting up, you know, waking up 20 minutes before he does and going and putting on a full face of makeup. Like, you have to be. Number five, you're okay with being bored in each other's company. Number six, you fight fair. So that means you don't take the low hand and this is like, you know, like saying stuff like, your mother doesn't even like you and those kind of things. So
that just rolled off your tongue.
Yeah, let me think of an example.
Number seven, they're affectionate. And not just because they're angling for sex, which I don't know any man who's affectionate when he's not angling for sex. So it's like, they're always like, oh no, I just want to cuddle. But you know, if you want to do more, that's great. And number eight.
And that's why I'm on a massive horn.
Yeah. Number eight, you describe your relationship as easy. So, lads, I want to know, what's your opinion on this? Is it too early for me to say that my boyfriend is the one? And please don't let the fact that he robbed your cream egg influence your answer. So,
or that he's listening.
I'll tell him to skip this part.
Probably agree with almost all of those things from the Huffington Post.
Yeah, I think it's too early. You need to go on holidays together,
yes.
Get sunburned together. You need to...
Holiday is the big one. If you can survive a holiday a week or 2 weeks when it's hot and you're fucking moody and, you know, as Johnny said, sunburned, all that. Holidays are the ultimate test.
Meeting family.
Living together.
Oh.
Fucking living together.
Have to live together.
Yeah. Living together can be a tough gig. No, I'm not saying on my behalf. I'm saying on her behalf. Living with me can be a tough gig. But
100%, you got to live together. Need to go on a long drive, get lost, argue over the sat nav, all that stuff.
But the one is a gas one. You know what I mean? Is there just one? There's billions of people in the world. I mean, there's probably more than one.
I haven't tried them all.
Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? No. It's like,
no, I'm joking. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But
like the chances of you having the same connection you have with Annie as someone from South Korea is probably, you know,
anyone
unlikely.
Putting up with your shit, like,
yeah, no, 100%, I do more so than the one. I think when you know, would be my one more so than like, oh, the one, you know, because like people are always like, oh, I found the one, and then bang, divorced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you've got another one, and then obviously that's two.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not one. But I'm saying when you know, you know. When you know it's long term and you know, okay, yeah, we're going to make the distance here. When you know, I think is probably my one rather than the one.
The idea of the one means that there's some sort of pre-designed fate in your life and you're going around trying to find the one and he's hiding out there. It's not, but anybody could turn into your one.
Yeah.
Not your one, but like the one. You're the one.
Yeah.
Anyone could turn into your one.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Man, we're talking about sliding doors.
Mm.
And a guy messages that he... Oh, no, I met a guy.
Mm.
And the scenario of how he met his girlfriend, his mate, and their missus broke up, and then he went and took the place on the holiday, and then there was like a whole incident, and then this other one was supposed to go away, and blah, 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 blah. And like a million things had to happen. For they lived in different countries to chance meeting on holidays, and they got on.
Yeah.
Like, what are the chances? The thing, the sliding doors, the inches of how people meet each other.
I don't know, do I believe in fate? But then I think it's some things are too much of a coincidence.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Some things, like just a chance meeting, and you're like, you know, I moved to Care. If I hadn't met her, would I move to Care? Would I met you? Would we be doing this? It's just too many things to put together
When you two met each other, did you have the feeling of, oh, I met the one?
No.
Not straight away.
No, and neither of us, I'd say. Me and Johnny, or me and...
Yeah, you and Johnny, yeah. And Neil. Of course I'm asking you about
Johnny. No, honestly, I thought you were on about Annie. I was like, no, she absolutely hated me at the start.
Yeah, tell that one before you go on to move on to us.
Oh, she wouldn't give me her number. Yeah, like, the first time I met her, I was like, she shifts in a nightclub or whatever, and I was like, oh, can I get your number? She was like, for what? I was like...
For what?
For fucking what? I'll just fucking ring a takeaway. And then for like weeks, I was like messaging her on Bebo and like, can I have your number? Like, and then eventually she's like, fuck's sake, like, I'll give it to you. Yeah. And I got you. Heaven sent. Ever since. I still think she doesn't like me. No, she's cracking up lately because she's like, stop fucking talking about me on that podcast.
Okay, sorry.
Because she said, she said that she imagines people think of her as like some like butch young one going around with a tool belt. That's what she said, like from the portrayal I'm painting of her. So I just like saying, no, you know, she doesn't wear a tool
belt.
And
he's a very stylish lady and she's sound as hell. So yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But on me and Johnny, I don't know.
We see the two Johnnies is like a new entity.
Mm.
So we didn't know. It's not like when you're going out and you're looking for a girlfriend, a wife. Like, we weren't looking for a comedy
duo-ish music podcast.
So we were hanging out for years before we started the Two Johnnies.
Yeah. And I suppose the first time we went on stage, though.
Yeah, it just worked.
Yeah, and everyone else said it to us as well, like. You know what I mean? Like, we were friends anyway. It didn't matter. Like, it wasn't like we were like, wow, we're best friends, like stepbrothers, like, you know.
Do activities.
Call me Nighthawk. It wasn't like that, but it was like the first time we went on stage and everyone was like, jeez, the two of you have something now. And we probably knew ourselves we were fairly tasty.
Yeah.
Not to but be, we were not such to be, you
know. A mismatch in other ways.
Yeah, we're totally different.
Yeah.
In certain ways. And in
yeah.
When we, like, when we lived together, in terms of like, you know, running around acting the maggot, joking and all, I would have to say we were a trio.
Yeah.
The Chalk Eyes.
Yeah, with the Chalk Eyes.
Yeah. I looking back at it now, I'm more surprised that Smacks and Chalk Eyes didn't start a comedy duo than me. Honest to God.
Yeah.
I have all those photos of you and him reenacting the stepbrothers stuff from when we had a Christmas tree. Send them on to Mara.
Never let them come to light.
Mara, is it too early for you to say that it's the one? You have to go through all that shite first. And I for me now, you have to live together.
I think living together and a year in after living together, that then you're like, and plus, like it's when bad things happen is when you kind of and when you figure out like, okay, yeah, this, you know, they're there for the long haul. No, this, I you know, I like your man, Mara.
He could well be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a very sweet fella. The only thing is, he doesn't have land, and he's convinced that I'm trying to turn him into a farmer because I bought him a pair of wellies for like walking around the farm.
Well, that's how it looks to us, Mara. But on that Huffington Post...
For his birthday, did you get him overalls then?
They're John Deere overalls.
Piece by piece getting him farmer gear. Valentine's Day, getting a pair of working gloves.
If I could give him some advice, it's whole tough. I'm years in now and I haven't converted to farmer weights and people just take me for what I am.
Yeah, I think all that stuff about liking the same things and all, not necessarily...
Yeah,
like, as long as you have the same kind of core values, like
I think men are less obsessed about meeting the one, whereas for women it's a big thing. Oh, I have to meet the one, you know, because it's like, you know, it's indoctrinated into true Cinderella and fairy stories and then rom coms. It's like fate intervenes. Whereas, like, to my mind, if you want to meet the one, just cast your net far and wide and go on a lot of Tinder dates and. That's like, you know, just go through the horror of Tinder and eventually, you know, it's like fishing for a diamond or fishing for gold. Eventually you'll find a nugget. So.
I also think in order to find the one, you have to have like an open mind. I think a lot of people who are searching, that's probably when you're not going to find it. It's when you're searching. And also, if you go on a Tinder date and you're like, don't like him straight away, you're shutting down being like, no, he's not the one. How do you know after like five? You have to explore it, have an open mind. Like.
When I went on my first date with the boyfriend, I didn't like him because he didn't want to go out for a date in his own town. He wanted to go meet me in another town. And I was just adamant. I was like, he has a girlfriend. He's setting me up now as his side bitch. And but anyway, I still went to the date.
The week.
Oh, a fella told me years ago, if you're going into business with somebody, meet an Indian in his wigwam. I understand that expression should be Native American now, but you get the gist of it. So for all our slagging, I think me and Smacks have found our ones.
Yeah, I don't know. So
our ones.
Too much time spent wasted at this stage. In the name of Christ.
Is that her ringing? Are you hanging up on?
No, that's actually the Chalk Eyes ringing.
Oh, he can ring. He'll ring back.
He'll ring back.
He's your other one.
No, do you know what? Off that Huffington Post article, a lot of stuff on that makes sense. Familiarity, 100%.
Yeah.
So they have to value your opinions. There's stuff I would take very seriously, anyone, and vice versa. You know, and you just have to be like, you know.
You don't blow each other off like,
fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the listeners' stories of how they knew their other partner was the one, because I'm sure it's like, or he gave me his wellies after I lost mine at Oxygen or something like that.
Yeah, send us in your love stories, how you met. That's what we're after.
I'll tell
it?
You, I came home from training last night and she was cooking dinner in a tip jersey.
Oh, fuck. That's a porn film.
she was wearing more than a tip jersey, lad. Yeah.
Okay, right, sorry. I got the wrong idea there. I thought it was high heels and a tip jersey and a spag ball. Holy Jesus. Oh.
I'll update you next week.
Do you know what,
if you're
though,
listening, girl.
Do you know what, though? A lot of people imagine some sort of a Disney film and y'all, you know.
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo. catch eyes and it's a kiss and it's, oh, she lifts her leg. And 9 times out of 10, it's not that. Actually, yeah. 9 times out of 10 billion, it's not that. But we want to hear your obscure ones.
How did you know?
How did you meet? How did you know? All that kind of stuff.
How did you know?
She was eating a batter sausage outside the nightclub. And I really like batter sausages.
And what went through your head?
Okay, don't mention that story in your wedding speech. That won't go down.
No, but I will.
Yeah. I don't know what was going for me.
You just meant, what? She's the one for me. We have so much in common.
No, the fact that she knocked me back was like, ooh, all right. I'm going to have to try a bit harder here. So, yeah.
And you still are.
I'm still.
Right, well, that was unexpected.
Trying.
Thanks, Max. Thanks, Maura. Best of luck to your boyfriend.
How did your story there?
I don't know, did you? Maura.
You're prompting me like I had a story.
Does your fella reckon? What does he reckon all this? Is that too personal?
He doesn't want to be named or anything on the podcast, and I'd hate to say, I hate to misrepresent his opinions, but he dotes on me something serious, and I've never had that before, so that's like,
A good sign.
Yeah.
Well, the very best good luck to you, Maura. I can't wait till you move in together. Those mystery topics are going to be on flames.
What would you do if someone left a box in the bed? I mean.
Thanks, Maura. Really enjoyed that one.
All right, John.
Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends with the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod to spread the good word. You get us on Instagram at the Two Johnnies and email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Check out our Patreon as well if you want more Johnnies in your life. Now, we're going to end it as is traditional, John, by with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week, which is sponsored by Apple Green. You can go and get your Two Johnnies chicken roll. It's only €4. No more. Outrageous prices, €4 in Applegreen while, what's the word? For a limited time only.
Okay. My dirt of the week.
Yes, please. Horse it on.
Midges are back. I got 8 alive this week.
The best.
Midges. Swear to God, lad. You forget the terror of the midges.
Do you know what? I'm dreading Tuesday night when we go back training, because that pitch is down by the river.
Yeah.
Our pitch is down by the river, and I swear to God, I'm going in buying the jungle formula. That's good stuff.
Okay.
That's good tack. A bit rubbing that down your legs, you'll be all right.
Do you wear the full length?
No, I won't be wearing them now. Not summer. But I swear, I've seen like a lad who got bitten so badly at training that he actually rang the manager next time and was like, I can't make training tonight. Like, my bike got infected. That's how bad it is.
Jesus.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
My other dirt. No, I'll save it for next week. Go on. What's your dirt?
No, I'll start my yurt. Our school chaplain, who I just want to say, Father Larkin, you're a legend. Sorry if we desecrated religion earlier in the podcast, all in jest. He's brought out a book called 7 Voices of Hope, and that's our school chaplain, and all the author royalties are going to charity and a really worthy cause that's close to us all in Closh, Fublin, and Roscrea. So I just think, you're to the week, if you want to check out his book, 7 Voices of Hope, do, if that's your thing.
Very good.
Fair play to him, yeah.
My Earth of the Week. Man, I stumbled across Joe Duffy's radio show during the week.
Wow, that...
It's still full of mad bastards.
I'd love to do a call-in show like that.
It's just wall-to-wall mad whores.
Can we just dedicate one of the extra pods one of the weeks where we just, like, people can just call in?
Yeah, we'll give Neil's phone number.
Yeah, yeah. Just WhatsApp call Neil.
No, so this lad rang in, long story short, and he was like, Joel, price of hotels is crazy, going on like this.
That was really good.
Go ahead there, caller. Where was the hotel for? And your man was like, I tried to get this hotel down in Kenmare, and for two people, for him and a daughter, so we separate rooms, and they quoted me €4,000.
Jeez.
And Joe was like, oh my God, that's an awful price.
Go on, sure. So, yeah.
And was there cheaper options? Yeah, no, I got a place for 600, but I'm just saying. And Joe was like, was it 5-star? Was it 5-star? Joe, it was €4,000. But like, no, but was the hotel 5-star? Yeah, it was 5-star hotel. But the price is scandalous, Joe. They're trying to ride us this summer. And he's like, but you got a place for 600. Yeah, but it's just a scandal. And I couldn't explain, like, this is a private business. They're a 5-star hotel. I don't know what the name of the hotel is.
Yeah.
They didn't give it out. Fair play. Mm. But like, people just love ringing in.
Oh man, people will find anything to complain about.
Going bananas.
I love that.
But also, like, what hotel is $4,000 for a week in Ireland?
Yeah, that's like, that is outrageous. Yeah, for want of a better word. I'm going to finish with me dirt. I'm getting old.
Why?
I'm getting old, man. Do you know what? I went out, I mentioned earlier on, I went out, I kind of laughed at rubbish as well, but I went out for a walk.
Yeah.
And I was walking along the road.
Yeah.
And there in front of me was the wrapper of like a roll. And I tut it.
Yeah.
I went, isn't that a disgrace?
Yeah.
And I picked it up and put it in my pocket.
Well done.
And then when I went home, I put it in the recycling bin.
Well done.
But it dawned on me, like, I was wanting with Annie, and she was just like, oh, you're getting old. You're doing stuff like that, you're definitely getting old. Now, she was like, I would have picked it up as well. But I mean, that's how we're thinking now. It's like, youngsters these days littering.
I think anyone who tuts is old.
I know, and I picked it up, went home. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was nearly going to just get and just fucking stamp it into the ground, be like, I'm not old. But I just felt, someone has to pick that up. Who does that nowadays? Do you know what? That's actually the one thing. You know, when we were younger, it was like, pop it in the bin, and there's all these like campaigns for like, rubbishing isn't cool, man. But like, honestly, who like fucks something out the window nowadays? No one does it. Do they really? Like, if one of my friends, if I was in the car with them and like they finished like whatever, a bottle of coke and fired out the window, I'd be like, get back and pick that up, you scumbag.
Animal. Yeah, I've called out people on it.
Yeah, it's like this day and age now, like, it's not on.
Littering is scandalous.
Yeah, so I just thought, my dirt is like a combination of the person who threw the rubbish there and the fact that I'm getting old. So
I don't think you're getting old, man. That's a reasonable mindset.
Yeah, but like that is like, I remember like growing up and like seeing old people going around with like loads of rubbish in their hands. And
yeah,
I was,
but
like,
now young people are doing it.
Okay.
We're taking it back.
It's cool to pick up rubbish.
Pop it in the bin, y'all.
Yeah. It's not cool to litter, man. Okay, so for me, we weren't paid by anybody to talk. No. Like, genuinely, just think, don't fucking throw your stuff out the window. It's disgusting.
Scumbags.
Carry on. That's it from this week. I hope you've enjoyed another. This, just looking back at this episode, it's crazy. If someone was to just be like, what are the two Johnnies like? And they listen to this, they'd be like, oh shit.
I don't know, hectic.
Yeah. That's it, lads. As we said last week, there's light at the end of the tunnel. GA trend's coming back for us. The vaccines are starting to come out. Hopefully it's onwards and upwards from us. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
And from me, Neil.
Yeah, look at that silky voice. My ladies are loving him. Go on, good luck.